As we all know, racism is being taken to a renewed height in America. I thought it might be good if we revisit the discussion I had with Dr. Stosny as he discussed with us the connection between the brain and racism. It is good to have you all back with us again. You're joining Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are getting ready to have another conversation with the outstanding Dr. Stephen Stosny, someone who helps us understand, I mean truly understand ourselves, what makes us tick from the head down. He's the person who really helped us begin to get a grasp of the adult brain, the toddler brain that we all possess. And he was inspiring us to let that adult brain take over in adults. He's here to talk with me today about our brains and our approach to race relations, brain and race relations. Dr. Stosny, it is so good to have you with us again. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back.
It is my pleasure, and I am still amazed at the work that you're doing and what it is helping us understand about ourselves as individuals, ourselves as a society. And Dr. Stosny, just for the benefit of the people who would not have been with us the first time you and I spoke with each other, those who may have, you know, just a slight inkling of an idea of what we've talked about but need their memories refreshed, could you talk with us about, very generally, what the study of psychology is about? But then also a little bit more particularly about the parts of our brain that you really bring to light, the toddler and adult brains.
Well, the psychology is about the science of human behavior, trying to observe in a scientific way without trying to reduce their biases as much as possible, how and why people behave as they do. That's psychology. Now, psychology has been greatly informed in the last decade and a half by advances in neuroscience. We know more. We've learned more in the last 10 and a half years about how the brain works than we learned in all the time of human history before that. Part of that is technological because we have brain imaging technology now. We can actually see what's going on inside the brain when people are behaving. But part of it is also that we've taken a more observational approach. See, psychology used to be dominated by theories, and then you try to fit people into the theory, where now we're observing people and trying to make the theories fit the people, which makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
Now, one of the things we've learned is that the brain has differential kinds of development. What I call the toddler brain is the limbic system that is fully mature by age 3. What goes on there is mostly sensory processing and impulses and emotions. It's pretty much an alarm brain. In other words, toddlers can't take care of themselves. All they can do is sound an alarm, and somebody else has to come and take care of them, solve their problems. So their emotions tend to be like smoke alarms. They're telling you something is wrong. And that's why they can be so intense. Now, the part of the brain that regulates those alarms when the child matures to a point where he or she can take care of himself, that I call that the adult brain. That really doesn't come online. What I mean by that, it's not myelinated. It doesn't have the coding on the neurons that help them conduct electrical activity, send messages to each other. That really doesn't come online until 16, and it's not fully developed until 28. So the adult brain is the part of the brain we really think of as being most human. That's the part that can think, that can imagine, that can feel compassion, that has values, has faith. Little children have a lot of superstition, but not much faith. They have preferences and impulses, but not much values. And it's rational. It's able to deduce. It's able to plan. It's able to self-reflect on what I'm thinking and feeling. And theory of mind. That means I can pretty much intuit what you're feeling and what you're thinking. All of that is the adult brain, and that's the part of the brain we need to be in under stress. You know, the toddler brain can be fun if you want to, you know, play a game or have some fun. But when you have a problem to solve or when you're under stress, you need to be in the adult brain.
So when it comes to imagination and having fun, one of the things I'm curious about is, what is it about the children's brains that toddler who's only 3 years old or 5 years old that enables them to imagine and to create, be creative, et cetera? And secondly, since you were just saying that it's okay for us to kind of be in that toddler brain and have fun, two parts to the question. Number one, are the children able to truly be imaginative since their adult brain has not developed yet? And secondly, is the ongoing activity or participation in our lives by the toddler brain still desirable just within limits?
Well, I'll answer the second first. Within limits, it is. And those limits are clearly defined fun times. Like if we're going to, get together and play a game, you know, a board game. Toddler brain's great for that, as long as it doesn't require a lot of strategy, if it's just fun. But the toddler brain is highly imaginative, and the reason it can be is that it's not constrained by reality. The toddler brain has no reality testing. It can't tell what's in its head, what you're imagining, what you're thinking, what you're dreaming, from what's really happening. That's why it's not good to let young children watch the news, because they can hear of an earthquake in South America and think that's because they thought it or because they behaved badly.
Interesting.
It's called egocentric. That means everything that happens relates to them in some way. But because they're not constrained by reality, they can be very creative. They invent friends. My daughter was an only child. She used to have a friend named Jimmy when she was 3 years old. He was real to her.
So they used to have conversations and everything, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, mostly she blamed him when something went wrong.
That was creative. And very strategically creative.
Right. Jimmy, do it. That's what you would say.
So that's something. So the toddler brain isn't something that, as we grow into adulthood, we want to completely get rid of. We just want to learn how to control it properly.
How to regulate its impulses, yeah. See, you need alarms, but the alarm has to have reality testing. The smoke alarm, you need a smoke alarm, but you can't, when it goes off, run out of the house screaming, we're all going to die. The alarm isn't reality. The alarm is signaling a possible reality. So you check it out. Is there really smoke? Is there really a fire? Because all good alarms are calibrated to give false positives. You don't want a smoke alarm suddenly going to go off when the house is in flames. You want it to go off when there's a little bit of smoke. That means it's going to go off when you cook sometimes or when somebody's smoking in the house. But that's better than a false negative. In other words, it doesn't go off when the house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the alarm part of our brains work. It's better safe than sorry. But you can't let that run your interactions, because a better safe than sorry system means you would rather be wrong 999 times thinking your wife is a saber-toothed tiger than be wrong once thinking a saber-toothed tiger is your wife. So you can't trust it. Check it out. It might be a saber-toothed tiger, but it's probably your wife whom you love.
And you would respond very differently depending on whether it's actually a saber-toothed tiger or your wife.
Absolutely. But the toddler brain can't tell the difference. That's the thing. If the alarm goes off, it assumes that she is a saber-toothed tiger. And then you'll treat her that way, and she'll become a saber-toothed tiger in response to you. So yeah. It becomes self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wow. So do we see any changes in the way the brain is working as people age? You know, and I'm not talking about dementia or Alzheimer's, anything like that. I mean, just typically, as people are reaching their 70s and their 80s, do they begin to regress towards a greater activity level of the toddler brain, or can they just keep that adult brain developing and continue to do a great job of regulating the toddler brain?
Well, that really has two answers, and let me give you the best answer first, or the best case scenario. Typically, if the person hasn't developed a lot of bad emotion regulation habits, what happens is you get more tolerant as you get older. You're more self-accepting. You know who you are. And when you're more self-accepting, you're more tolerant of other people. So that's what happens when the system works the way God intended, let's put it that way. But a lot of us form habits that begin in toddlerhood of emotion regulation by using what I call the toddler coping mechanisms. The toddler coping mechanisms are if you ask a toddler what happened to that broken toy or broken lamp, he or she will say, blame it on someone. Jimmy, do it, is what my daughter said. So blame is the primary defense of the toddler. The second is, I don't know. That's denial. You know, I just did this in a lecture to a group of therapists, and one of them came up, who's a psychologist, but she has a toddler, and she said that the toddler let the cat out. She said, honey, you're not supposed to open the door. You let the cat out. She said, oh, I didn't do it. He says, but there he is. She's pointing to him, the cat in the yard, and says, oh, that's not him. That's not him. That's denial. And if that doesn't work, the lamp's broken, the kid's hiding, avoidance. Blame, denial, and avoidance are the toddler coping mechanisms. And when you bring those into adulthood, that forms poor emotion regulation. Every time you feel uncomfortable, you're going to blame it on someone. You're going to deny responsibility for it. Or you'll try to avoid it by working, drinking, drugging, doing something that you shouldn't be doing to try to avoid that vulnerability. When you forge those habits of making the adult brain serve the toddler brain instead of the other way around, that's when we get all kinds of psychological problems.
Because then we are truly being dysfunctional, causing the brain to work opposite of the way it's designed to work?
All three of those, blame, denial, and avoidance, make you feel powerless. You can't do anything to improve your situation if you're blaming it on somebody else, or if you're denying that it is a bad situation, or trying to avoid it. You can't improve. It can only get worse with blame, denial, and avoidance. Mm-hmm. But they're a defense system designed by a toddler. You wouldn't drive in a car designed by a toddler or fly in a plane designed by a toddler, so don't use coping mechanisms designed by toddlers.
That makes
they're
sense.
They're cute. That's how they get away with it. Mm-hmm. Adults aren't so cute when they blame, deny, and avoid.
Wow. And you were saying that a lot of times when the adults are using those coping mechanisms, they've begun to develop those as children?
They started as children, and they never really learned emotion regulation. So the way that children learn emotion regulation is by watching their parents mostly. But they, when they are feeling distress, if the parents are very compassionate to their distress, then they learn to soothe themselves when they feel upset, or to cheer themselves up when they're down. But they don't know how. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to do that. We have to teach them. And if the parents are modeling the toddler defenses, blame, denial, and avoidance, then the children most likely are going to do it too. And they never really learn the adult coping mechanisms, which are improve. You know, you can't blame and improve at the same time.
Right.
You've got to stop blaming to improve something. So improve, appreciate. You appreciate someone or somebody or something, and appreciate the complexity of the situation rather than oversimplify it. That's our politics now, is so oversimplifying when our issues are so complex.
Yes.
Appreciate, connect, feel connected to other people, or protect people you love. Those are the way that the four adult coping mechanisms that have to replace blame, denial, and avoidance.
Interesting. Okay. So anything else that we should bear in mind when it comes to the toddler brain, the adult brain?
Well, the toddler brain is self-obsessed. It can't see any other perspective. And it's self-validating, which means whatever it's feeling, it construes this reality and projects it on other people. So if I'm feeling bad, I'm going to assume that you are doing something to make me feel bad. If I'm feeling afraid, I'm going to think you're dangerous. So whatever I feel becomes the reality. Instead of saying, I'm feeling bad, and realistically looking at why, well, I didn't sleep last night, or, you know, I'm hungry, or I'm depressed because my stock went down, or something like that, I immediately, in the toddler brain, I'm immediately going to assume it's you.
That's so interesting. And it seems like there's a strong likelihood that this blaming can be very unreasonable.
It's almost always unreasonable. Because it's not meant for a realistic appraisal. It's meant to regulate your uncomfortable feeling. So it's not designed for reality. It's designed to regulate your own emotions.
That is,
it's the adult brain that has to deal with reality.
I got you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stosny is really laying the foundation for us, helping us understand what psychology is about, helping us understand the roles of the toddler brain and the adult brain, both of which, as you heard him explaining to us, are in the adult. Is there a place for one and no place for the other? He let us know, even in the adult, there is a place for the toddler brain. When we're playing an innocent game, there's no harm intended, there's no harm that can be done, just a board game, we're just having fun, good place for the toddler brain. But regulation, development have got to take place. Otherwise, we will find adults using a toddler brain to self-obsess and self-validate, blaming other people for circumstances we're facing that may have nothing to do with the people we're blaming because they're not at all founded in reality. More from Dr. Stosny when we come back.